Father, we come to you. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for the blood, because that precious blood was shed. And because that blood was shed, we can have peace with you, Father. And Lord, our prayer tonight is that you move mightily, that you move powerfully, miraculously. Lord, we pray the people would be saved. Father, I pray because there are folks sitting out here tonight, and they believe their lives are so broken they can never be fixed. And I pray to you, Jesus, fix their life. Lord, there are folks sitting out here tonight and their marriages are broken and they think they're broken beyond repair. But Lord Jesus, I pray that you would heal those marriages. And Lord, I pray for those who've come and Lord, they're discouraged and they're disappointed. Father, some of us have come tonight and our greatest disappointment is in you. Lord, I pray that you would move. And Father, more than anything, as your word has been preached through song and as it will be preached through the message, above all things, I pray that you would be lifted up and you would be glorified. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. You know, I've prayed, you know, we've been praying for a long time about this weekend and about how God would move. And I pray that it would be the most unexpected opportunity in your life. Some of you have come here tonight, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I pray tonight that Jesus reigns all over you tonight and that you would be saved. I pray that. And I pray it's such an inopportune moment, a moment that catches us off guard. The other day, I went to the store, and I was going to buy a pair of running shoes. And I told the man, I came, I said, I want a serious pair of running shoes. And he looked at me, and he laughed a little bit, but then he went and he brought some shoes. Well, that morning, it was early when I left. The room was dark as I got dressed. I had on my dress shoes. And so as I sat down and I was telling this man about how I was going to run, I had to take off my shoes. And on my left foot was a very sophisticated, manly, nice dress sock. As I took off the other shoe, there was the most beautiful lady stocking that you've ever seen. And it had lace and little designs, and it was nice. And as I took that shoe off, to his surprise, to my shock and horror, it was a moment that he will never forget, that I will never forget. Listen, I pray tonight that God moves in a powerful way. That God would move. I was watching an interview that was on television, and it was about a celebrity, a young lady. She had emancipated herself when she was 17 and said, I'm tired of home, I'm tired of the rules, and she left, and man, she lived it up. She was all over the news. Things were good for a while, then things were bad. She completely, finally tarnished her own reputation, the reputation of her family, her community. And on this religious broadcasting show, this religious broadcaster was interviewing her father. And I'm going to tell you something about religion. If you don't know it, religion has an ugly face and an ugly voice. And you can say whatever religious things you want to say, but it is ugly and it makes it no less a lie. And this woman who's doing the interview with the father, she's telling him everything that his daughter has done and how she has disrespected her home and disrespected her father, spoke against her father, did things against her father, all these things. And she builds this gigantic case. She said, a matter of fact, a few days ago, she was in the news and says she has nothing to say to you and she doesn't care what you have to say. And the woman with excitement looked at him and said, I want to give you the chance to tell her whatever you think you need to say to her. You can say it right here and maybe she'll hear it. And the camera pans to the father. And he can't speak. Tears are streaming down his cheek. And then, as if overcome with a fit of emotion, he just hollers out, come home! Come home! It was an incredible moment. And it reminded me the love that the Father has for His children.
Because the Bible says that we're all sinners. We have tarnished his name. We've tried, haven't we? We have tried to tarnish his reputation. We spoke against him. We've done things against him. And in all of that, the voice from the Father, the voice comes from heaven and says, through Jesus, through the blood shed on the cross, come home. Come home. And we find this moment with Jesus in the Gospel of John. He feeds 5,000 people. You've probably heard the story. If you haven't, there was no food. They're looking for food. Jesus wants the people to be fed. There's a young boy. He's got some food. And they're able to feed everybody. And there's food left over. But I want to pick up in John chapter 6. It says this. Because in that moment, Jesus and the disciples, they leave. It's a moment where Jesus walks on the water. How cool is that? Jesus is walking on water. But immediately after that, the Bible says this. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they ask him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You were looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Jesus said, you're not looking for me because of the miraculous signs. And there were miraculous signs. And have you ever thought about why the Bible talks about these signs? Because most of us like to get caught up in the signs. But you know what the point of a sign is? To communicate something to you. The point of a sign is to point you in a direction. And these signs had been given miraculously to point to Jesus. And so the crowd had followed and they're after Jesus. And they miss the greatest point. You see, it is not by coincidence that the Savior of the world came to a geographical place on the globe that was called Bethlehem. How many of you knew that? Raise your hand. Jesus born in Bethlehem. And in Hebrew, Bethlehem means house of bread. You see, they were all caught up in the food. And they had missed what it was really all about. And in John chapter 6, Jesus is telling them this. They ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. He goes on and Jesus says this in verse 35. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And this is a hard message to preach in America because we don't understand hunger and we don't understand thirst. But I'm telling you, I preached this message in Romania. And when I read that verse, the children that were in this church, they were on the edge of their seat and their eyes were this big because they were hungry. And to hear about this Savior who fills us in a way that we never hunger again. It was a hard message to preach there. But the people understood it. I'm going to tell you something about malnutrition. When you are starving to death, there is a period of time that you are hungry. But before you actually die of starvation, do you realize that the hunger pains are gone? That you're not hungry anymore, but you're dying. You need food, but you're not hungry anymore. And Jesus tells these people, he says, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry. And you and I were so fixated on the food. We're so fixated on the signs, and we're so fixated on all these things. And Jesus is saying, I'm not coming to give bread. I am bread. It's me. I shared the gospel with a man. And after I shared the gospel, he says, so if I do all that, what do I get? And I just looked at him astonished because I thought it was a clear presentation of the gospel. I thought it was clear. And I just looked at him and I said, if Jesus saves you, what you get is Jesus. That's what you get. He should be our first and foremost passion. The supremacy of our lives, the very first thing, the only thing that counts, the only thing that matters. He's all that we need. Jesus is giving bread to say you don't need bread. But then he says, I'm the bread of life, to communicate that what you do need is me. And we miss that. We miss that. I have a joke with Pastor Keith every Wednesday night before I preach. And I just tell him and the praise team, when it's getting close to time to start, I tell them, y'all get up there and get started and don't cut into the preaching time. And I'm going to tell you tonight, this message is going to be brief, because what needs to take up the majority of this night is our response to what God is doing and to how God is working. The things he's communicating in our lives. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. There are some people that I hope are here tonight. You know, there's a man that Pastor Steve had the opportunity to talk to. I got to talk to him later. This is a man who doesn't know Christ. And I'll tell you, by all indication and by all spiritual curiosity in his life, there is no doubt that Jesus is pursuing him. And I don't know if that man's here tonight. He said he may come tonight. I pray that he's come. There's a few of you that talked to a man Sunday, and he had expressed after the service that he didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and several of you prayed with him and talked to him, and we asked him to come tonight. I pray that he came tonight. I pray that as you look around, if you're a follower of Jesus, you look around and there's a burden and there's a passion in your heart that people would come to know Jesus tonight, because Jesus said that he was the bread of life. Some of you here tonight and you think, I'm saved because I go to church. I want you to know, if that's what you think, you are not saved. Some of you think, I'm saved because I try to live a good life. If that's what you think, you are not saved. Salvation is the gift of God. Jesus didn't say church attendance is the bread of life. He didn't say knowing the praise courses is the bread of life. He didn't say going to all these religious things is the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am what you need. And so if you are here tonight and you feel like something is missing in your life, you don't know Jesus, I want you to know he is what's missing. Maybe you're here and you feel like, I've come tonight to get the answer to all the problems that I have. I want you to know, he is the bread of life. It's Jesus. It is all about him. Jesus communicates this. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and will raise him up at the last day. You see, when we look at all these things in our lives, you know, for most of us, we're no different than that celebrity. And this gospel message, when Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life, and if you have the bread of life, you will never hunger again. You will never thirst again. And all of that, what Jesus is saying, he is saying, oh, sinner, come home. Come home. The Bible makes it clear that we weren't created for this place. And when you live in this place, it is hard. It is difficult. There are problems. There are disasters. I mean, right now, our country's remembering what happened 10 years ago. And when you live on the earth, things like that happen. And all those things scream from the voice of God to come home. You weren't made for all of this. He created us for eternity. And the Bible teaches us that this Messiah who was born in this town that, that's named the House of Bread. He's come so that we could have eternal life, so that we could live with him forever in heaven. And the Bible's clear. As much as the world hates it, the Bible is clear that the only way that you and I get to heaven is that Jesus forgives our sin. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And no matter what else is said, it doesn't change truth. You see, it was such a harbinger that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And that some 30 years later, he would say to the people, I am the bread of life. Everything else you're chasing leaves you hungry. Everything else you're chasing leaves you thirsty. And what the Bible is saying here is there should be a hunger and a thirst for him. And if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I pray that through his Holy Spirit tonight that you would hunger and thirst for him. That you would have a desire for him like you've never had in your life. It's the only way you'd have it is that he would put it on you. And I pray that you would be saved. And if you're here tonight and you're a believer, maybe you're stuck like I get stuck sometimes looking at the signs instead of looking at what the signs are pointing to. That I begin to think it's about the bread that I eat and not the bread of life. And I find myself many times in a place as a believer where I don't hunger and I don't thirst for righteousness. And the Bible says that we should hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, I pray those people are here tonight. We're going to have a time of altar in just a few moments. And I pray that this altar would go on and on. There's going to be many people just come and just pray that people would be saved. And if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I would invite you just to follow those folks down here to the front to grab somebody and say, would you pray with me? I need to know Jesus. I pray that you take the hand. Listen, this is an incredible place. You could take the hand of the person next to you, even if you don't know them, and tell them, I need to be saved. And they'll pray with you. They'll bring you down here and that you would do that. You know, Sunday morning's coming, and it's a powerful time. We've prayed to see over 100 baptisms Sunday morning, and that's not for a number. I remember when I was preaching a revival, and I was sharing with a pastor that, yeah, we're hoping to see, you know, 525 baptisms at our church, and that bothered him. He didn't like that. He didn't think that was a godly thing to do, is to hope that that many people, you know, would be saved. And I asked him, I said, do you expect God to save people? And he said, well, of course I do. And I said, come over here. And we walked over to the baptistry of the church, and there was no water in the baptistry. And you can say what you want about it, that it's efficient, it's economic, we just put it in there when we've got somebody. But the truth is, there's no expectation. But I believe with all my heart tonight, that God is going to move and the people are going to be saved tonight and tomorrow night. And I believe Sunday morning is going to be a Sunday morning like we've never seen as God moves. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a relationship with Jesus, but you've never been baptized. Biblical baptism, baptism as Jesus taught it and did it in his life, is a decision that you make. And there are many of you here that have never been baptized, and you have just fought and fought against that. Do you know what that's called? That is disobedience. And my prayer tonight is that our response would be in obedience to him, that we would follow him. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And even as I'm preaching, don't think for a minute the devil is not at work in people's lives saying, but you've done this, you've done that, you're not going to go up there, you don't need to be baptized, you can't get saved, Jesus doesn't want you. But when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, he's saying to every one of you, come home, come home. He said, you've been hungry, I will fill you. You've been thirsty, I will give you drink. Jesus said that he is the bread of life. And he says to come home. And I plead with you tonight. I plead with you, those of you that don't know Jesus, I pray that he breaks your heart tonight. I pray that you would trust him tonight. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you that you would have a burden in your heart for what God would do tonight in the lives of those that don't know him. That you'd have a burden in your heart tonight for what he's saying to you, for your bitterness and your anger, those things that we love to hold on to, and that even more the enemy loves us to hold on to, that we would let them go. And that we would trust him in all his wisdom, in all his sovereignty, in all that he's done, in all that he's given us, in all the ways that he has blessed us, that our response would be in obedience and that we would trust him. You feel like your life is broken. You've done a thousand things to try to fix it. I hope you've at least learned this. You will never fix your broken life. No other person can fix your broken life. But Jesus says to that broken life, come home. Come home. There are marriages out here that need to be healed. And years of bitterness builds in a marriage. And we choose to let God deal with that, or we choose to deal with it, and we find ourselves broken, feeling that we're beyond repair. And Jesus says, come home. Come home. Will we really trust him tonight? Would you trust him tonight? The Bible tells us he's the Lord of all creation. And he's come because there was no other way. Everybody loves the Ten Commandments. They love to put them up. They argue about having them in different places. But I'm telling you, the Ten Commandments were given by God just to prove to us, to show us tangibly that we can't do it. The Ten Commandments scream, come to Jesus, because you'll never do these things. You'll never be able to live up to this. And Jesus says, come home. Come home. I'm asking you to bow your heads tonight. There'll be pastors and elders are coming. They'll be here to pray. But I'm going to ask you, if you're here tonight and you're unsure about the relationship you have with Jesus, or you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you feel that he's working in your life, just lift your hand real quick and put it right back down. Okay? I can't see everybody, but I can see you. Okay? Okay? Oh, y'all, there's hands have gone up all over the place of people who said, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I pray that you've heard this message, that he's the bread of life. I pray that you have heard the message, that what he has to say to you concerning your life is to come home, and that you would trust him. And how many of you here tonight would say, you know, I've been a follower of Jesus, but I've not been obedient to be baptized, and I know that that's something I need to do. Just lift your hand real quick and put it right back down. Okay? 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 Don't put that off anymore. Don't put that off anymore. Let's respond in obedience. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you to have a burden tonight for him. I'm going to ask you to trust him tonight. This altar is going to be open. Many people are going to come and pray at this altar. I pray for those young men that we've been talking about. I pray that you're here. Because if you're here, you know who you are. I know who you are. And I pray right now specifically for you that you would give your life to Jesus. That you would trust him. I'm going to ask you, if you don't know Jesus, to take somebody's hand and to come to this altar tonight. As many will gather here to pray, follow with them tonight. Let us pray with you. Let us talk to you. If you've been disobedient in baptism, let's deal with that tonight. Let's not say no any longer, but let's be obedient to him. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you that you are the bread of life. As all those people left Jesus, Jesus turned to the disciples and he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And they looked at him and they said, "Lord, where else would we go? You alone have the words of life." And so even as we're praying right now, I pray that people would come. I pray that they would hear that message in their heart and their mind to come home, to stop running to all those other things and run to Jesus, that we would trust him. So I'm going to ask you to come now. This altar is open. Don't wait. Just come out of your seats right now. Come to this altar. Let us pray with you. Come to this altar and say, "I need to come home. I need to be saved." Husband and wife, come to this altar tonight and say, "You know what? We need somebody to pray for us. We feel like this thing will never be right. It'll never be fixed. But I pray, Lord Jesus, to put your hand on that marriage and to heal it and to fix it." Lord, even as those are coming, Lord, I pray people would continue to come. For those that have been disobedient in baptism, Father, I pray that they would say, "I'm going to follow you tonight." And so as we gather here, Lord, we pray for you to do what none of us can do. We pray for you to do what's impossible for man, but's possible for you. Only you can fix a broken life. Only you can fix a broken marriage. Lord, only you can do that, and I pray that you do that. Lord, I pray against the voice of the enemy tonight who is telling people they can't go home because the Father doesn't want them. I pray against that. And even as those are sitting there feeling like there's no way they could come, I pray that somebody put their arm around them and say, "I'll go with you." So, Lord, save people. You do that. This altar is open. Please come tonight. Hear his voice. Respond to his voice. You come.